Thank you for each one of you coming out on this stormy evening. I'd like to begin this evening by making a statement. And that statement is, I'm proud to be an American. There is no other country on the face of the earth it is as great as the United States. I mean, if you think about the freedoms that we have and the liberties that we have, there's no other place that compare. And I truly believe that it's all because of godly forefathers, people with a desire to come here to worship God Almighty and in a place where they were free. And Tico's prayer, he was kind of stealing some of my thunder about the U.S., but it's not perfect, and we know that, and it's got a lot of tweaking to do and a lot of people that need to be tweaked, but God bless America. Tonight, I have in this little bag, as far as I'm concerned, it's one of the greatest inventions of the 20th century. It was introduced back in 1930, and even today, it has an annual revenue of $2 billion. And one of you will be the lucky recipient of not just a Snicker bar, but a bag of Snickers. Probably not the healthiest snack that you could eat, so that's the reason why I got this little bitty one. So if you eat one a day, I don't think it's going to kill you. But all you got to do is answer one question. And I'm sure all of you know the answer, so, you know, as I used to tell the kids, don't scream out the answer, raise your hand, I'll try to call the first one. The question is, what is the national motto of the United States of America? See, if I call on my father-in-law, you'll say this was rigged. So I'm looking for someone other than I'll buy him another Snicker bar. But I'm sure he knows. Doug, in God we trust. Now, all of you knew that. I know you knew that. We see it pretty much every day. Now, you're not going to find it on a credit card, but you probably, on all of your currency, is the statement, in God we trust. And it didn't happen just overnight. There is some history behind it, so you're going to get a very quick history lesson. It kind of dates back to the 1800s. A little skirmish was going on here on this continent between 1861 and 1865. Pete's also a Civil War historian, if you know that. He probably will correct me if I get anything wrong. But during the Civil War, if you remember your history, the nation was at a very low point. The country was divided in two. From what I could find out, there was pretty close to being 750,000 Americans died during the Civil War. So the country was really hurting. And petitions were going out. Prayers were going up. People could see godly people like ourselves, who have been gone through history, have never stopped praying. But a lot of people realized that man is not going to fix this problem. So there was a lot of petitions going to the U.S. government, which was, I guess, the upper half of the nation at that point. And so there was letters going in. People wanted to see God recognized. It's God that was the reason why our country is great, and only God is going to fix this problem of the Civil War. So in 1861, one of the many letters went out to the Secretary of the Treasury. His name was Salmon P. Chase. This letter in particular was from Reverend M. R. Watkinson, minister of the gospel of Wrightville, Pennsylvania. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'll just kind of read some of the highlights. It says, "Dear Sir, you are about to submit your annual report to Congress respecting the affairs of the national finances. One fact touching our currency has hitherto been seriously overlooked. I mean the recognition of the Almighty God in some form on our coins. You are probably a Christian. What if our republic were not shattered beyond reconstruction? Would not the antiquaries of succeeding centuries rightly reason from our past that we were a heathen nation? From my heart, I have felt our national shame in disowning God as not the least of our present national disasters. You first, I address a subject that must be agitated. And then in response, as a result, Secretary Chase instructed James Pollock, director of the Men of Philadelphia, to prepare a motto in a letter dated November 20th, 1861. Dear sir, no nation can be strong except in the strength of God, or safe except in his defense. The trust of our people in God should be declared on our national coins. You will cause a device to be prepared without unnecessary delay and a motto expressing in the fewest and tenderest words possible this national recognition. So at that point, In God We Trust started appearing in 1964 on the 2-cent piece. And it gradually was added to other U.S. coins. You know, as time went on, it kind of disappeared off of some of the coins. You know, things kind of got better. So throughout history, if you look at the, in comparison to the Old Testament, when things were good, they went good. And then as they gradually got away from God, the children of Israel would fall back into problems again. And it was the same way kind of with our country. World War I came along. Then the Great Depression. World War II. Korea War. The Cold War. Communism. Atheism. So in the 50s, here we go again. Godly people started praying to God. A lot of people were worried about what's going to happen to our nation. It sounds like all we got to do is someone, there's a threat out there that can press a button and we can be annihilated. People started turning to God. Who else? And there was a, revival in a sense during the 50s. Billy Graham was really going strong with his crusades. And you know, even people in our government, Dwight D. Eisenhower, he decided and admitted that, yes, we're not going to be able to fix this. Man is not going to fix this problem. We're going to have to turn to God, and we need to recognize him again. So on July 30th, 1956, he signed into law that the national motto of the United States of America would be, "In God We Trust," so that the country could see that again, and the world could see that it's only because of the grace of God that our country is as great as it is today. So in 1957, which was a good year, I was born in September, but in October of 1957, the first paper currency was printed with the etched on the back of it, "In God We Trust." And afterwards, I don't have a whole lot of time, but I actually do have one of those 1957 silver certificates. Anybody know what a silver certificate is or was? Yes, sir. We actually had a dollar's worth of silver to back that piece, you know, that piece of paper up at that time. But so in 1957, and all of the currency from that point on, coin or paper, has got our national motto on the back, "In God We Trust." You know, as I thought about "In God We Trust," it's something I've always known. I need to trust in God more in everything. But you know, I look and I said, I've got to trust in man also, don't I? Shouldn't we not trust in man? And I made a list of 10 people or groups of people that I know I need to trust. And I got to thinking, I said, well, aren't these same 10, should they not been listed in the Bible? Can I not look into the Bible and see how well man did back then too? So I'll be paraphrasing a lot, and I'll read you my list of 10, beginning with parents. You know, I started out, God blessed me right from the beginning. I had Christian parents, and they were always there for me. And, of course, I trusted in my parents. But they're not here today. I can't trust them. They can't be with me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or forever. But, you know, you also look at, if you listen to the news, it's so depressing. You hear of bad parenting and crimes against children by parents. How did that compare? Were parents always good in the Bible? If you look at 1 Samuel chapter 20, it says, Saul hurled a spear at Jonathan. That's not good parenting to me. That was because he was friends with David, and Saul was trying to kill David. Next, I put down siblings, our brothers and sisters. I remember hitting my brother with a rock. Next thing I know, I'm getting a spanking. So he's not very trustworthy if he's going to go squeal on me every time I do something. What about Genesis 37? Joseph goes to visit his brothers. His brothers wanted to kill him, but at least they loved him enough just to sell him to a bunch of Midianites and as a slave. Not very trustworthy. How about our boyfriends and girlfriends and relationships? Did everyone marry the very first young lady or the very first guy you went out with? Probably not. He probably dropped you or she dropped you for some reason. Can't really trust them. Judges 16, guys, don't ever tell your girlfriend that you are strong because your hair is nice and long. You see what happened to Samson. Delilah cuts his hair because he entrusted that information to her. How about husbands and wives? You know, I love Lisa very much and I trust her completely. But she can't be there for me 24 hours a day. And I trust her with everything. You know, from driving the car, getting groceries, buying the right things, riding down the road, going home with the tailgate up and going into the garage. I trust her not to do that, but I can't say a whole lot about that because I've backed into my own vehicle. So, you know, I'm sure she trusts me, but I can't be there for her all the time. If you think about husband and wives in the Bible, look all the way back to the beginning of the book, Genesis chapter 3. Adam, eat this. Well, I didn't think I was supposed to eat this. Well, it's good for food. Okay. So he didn't really should have trusted Eve in that respect. How about children? You know, I'm pleased to see all three of my boys here and their wives, except for one of my grandsons wasn't feeling good, so he had to go home this evening. But, you know, I trust them wholeheartedly. But kind of like with Lisa, when I handed them the keys, did I trust them all the time? Is that the reason why I replaced everybody's bumper, you know, hoods, trees, and other people's bumpers and stuff too, you know. Look at Absalom and David in 2 Samuel. Absalom was trying to kill his father, and he ended up hanging in a tree, and Joab killed him. So our children, we can't always trust them. If we look back at, pardon, some of my notes are all over the place. How about doctors? We hear a lot of that. We've heard a lot about that, you know, at every one of our prayer meetings. We need to trust in our doctors. But if you think about a doctor, another description of a doctor is a medical practitioner. I don't like the word practitioner. I mean, it comes from the word practice. And so guess who the guinea pigs are? It's going to be you or me. But we have to trust them. But if you look in Luke chapter 8, you remember the woman who had a blood disorder. She spent everything she had on doctors. But she trusted that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and all she did was touch his garment, and she was healed. How about our friends and associates? Our friends will let us down. People that we work with will let you down. Have you ever confided in someone personally, and then the next thing you know, someone else knows about it? They're not always that trustworthy. And I can't help but think of Jesus Christ himself. Luke 22, you probably remember this verse. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Who said that? Peter, one of his best friends that he had. Peter was not trustworthy. Also, what about our investments, the things that we trust, our banks, bankers, our stocks, our retirement? Turn on the news. It's always about embezzlement. I even read where the scout leader stole 6,000 boxes of Girl Scout cookies and over $20,000 worth of cookies. You know, who can you trust? And it reminded me of Luke chapter 12, the rich young businessman that said, I've got all this grain. I'm going to build bigger barns to put it in, and I'm going to just sit back and eat, drink, and be merry. Well, what happened to him? His investments didn't last him through the night. About our church leadership, you know, I trust our church leadership. But you know, they're human just like anyone else, and they're apt to sin. If we turn on the TV, you hear so much or read in the news about church leaders going off the deep end and doing things that they shouldn't do. And it reminded me of who should have been the ones to protect the Lord Jesus Christ. It should have been the leaders of the church at that point. But in Luke chapter 22, it says, and the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him. So they were not trustworthy. And number 10 is authority or the government. And I think of our government. It really seems to be in chaos. But you know, when Jesus had been arrested by the authority, you would have thought that he would have got justice when he went before the local government. Luke chapter 23, Pilate says, I find no fault in this man. Verse 15, nothing deserving of death has been done by him. But yet, by the time you get to verse 25, but he delivered Jesus to their will. My point in all this is, you know, I realize there are people that we need to trust. But the key is we need to trust in God first and ask him for his leading and for his guidance in everything. The doctor that we need to go see. Lord, I have no idea. Send me to the right one, who our spouse is going to be, our boyfriends or girlfriends. Everything we need to turn over to God and really trust him, because man's record is not hitting on a whole lot, as we all know. You know, the Bible is something I can trust. It's never been proven wrong. It is the Word of God. So therefore, everything in it, I should be able to trust and believe. The Bible is full of verses about trust and having confidence in it. And some of the ones that, for the sake of time, I'm going to read very quickly that I really like. These are from the NIV or the New King James, and they include the word trust in them. And there's verse after verse other than these few that I selected. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Proverbs 29:25. Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Psalm 56:4. In God whose word I praise, in God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere man do to me? That's a good one. Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust him. Psalm 118:8, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. Psalm 9:10, those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Excellent verses of encouragement and reminder that we need to trust in God. As I wrap things up this evening, Tico hit the nail on the head. We have got to pray for our country. It is the greatest country. It can be even greater. It can stand forth in throughout the world proclaiming the Word of God. But we have got to trust God that He is in control. And it reminded me of verse Romans 13:1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. In other words, He knows exactly what's going on in our country. He has put these people in the positions they are for a reason. Sometimes we just cannot understand or see the reasoning behind it, but keep in mind, He is in control and He knows exactly what He's doing. I leave you with these verses here. Jeremiah 17:7-8. I've always loved this section. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. And I've got written down here at the bottom, worry less, trust God more. And I'll go ahead and close in a word of prayer. And was it you, Bruce? Doug, I'm sorry. Sorry, Doug. Bruce, I'll bring you a Snicker bar next time. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for bringing each one of these dedicated Christians out this evening, Lord. We love each one. We thank you, Lord, for being such a trusting God, one that we know we can put our trust in. We know that you're in control. May we strive to not do everything ourselves and lean on our own understanding, but look to you first for guidance and direction. And we give you all the praise and honor and glory that you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen.